doing nothing would be doing nothing, or would it be doing everything but without anybody?
Really nothing. Really nothing.
Except to know that you are the kitten with the cat.
Even that you have to forget, because the moment you, it is, you are right actually, if you reach that level consciously.
Aware that you are the, you are the, you are the challenge.
Yeah, but you know, consciousness is jumped into consciousness. Even that what you call consciousness is no more the consciousness. So that awareness is plunged into awareness. In that awareness you have to be aware that you are carried by God. If you have that, you don't need to read all this stuff.
Today exactly the same thing happened with me.
Yes.
And I was very occupied with some work.
Yes.
And I was determined to come here also. But every morning I just leave myself to God. I only make 1 minute prayer at the end of my mind. Not even say it, mentally it is there. I end up this place that I won't be able to come. I try to, but I will not be able to come. You see the anger at 40 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
That it is difficult for you to tell that something, then you try to come. Said, okay, whatever work I had, I formed up. And I found out that there's no job to be done only after lunch. So I immediately started for this place. But just like a cat child, I have not come myself.
To the extent to which we can do this, even in little ways like this, is a tremendous help. And if you can do this, and Sri Ramakrishna's example very often is taken that he was almost illiterate, but he was like a cat child. It is because of this. And this is certainly a method. And afterwards, when he had attained, he spoke words which even the highest intellectuals could not understand. So that is another side. Vivekananda represents the intellectual questioning of the highest kind. In fact, the conquest of Vivekananda by Sri Ramakrishna, it was a real conquest. Vivekananda had rejected all the so-called pundits of his time, all the so-called religious leaders of his time, and said that all of them talk of God, but the moment I posed the question, have you seen God? Nobody could answer that question at all. It was only Sri Ramakrishna who could say, yes, I see him and I can see him more vividly than I see you. This capacity to answer this question is one of the greatest events of modern India, of the modern world. That intellectual height, which could not arrive at a conclusion, arrived at a conclusion by the contact of this spiritual light. So the knowledge which bursts from that experience is capable of answering this highest intellectual question. So, when you rise from here, you arrive at a point, and when you reach that climax, when you begin to pour the knowledge, that knowledge again is of such a nature. For example, he said, God is both formless and form. Now, for him, it was a simple proposition. And this is a proposition which is very vividly made in this chapter of 7 pages. God is both form and formless. But intellectually, how are you to understand this? As Sri Aurobindo says, we arrive at a point which intellectually is untranslatable. We fall into contradiction when we try to understand it. But these were the terms which Sri Ramakrishna used quite easily, as if it was daily experience. For him, it is nothing mysterious about it, nothing contradictory about it. So if you start with this, and if you can attain to it, then this path is entirely dispensable. There is no need whatsoever to pursue this path. There is also the path of Karma Yoga, where you don't need to have that cat-child consciousness of doing nothing at all. On the contrary, it answers your constant bursting of energy of doing something all the time, go on doing. So those who are active like all of us, who can't even remain 1 minute quiet, for them, karma yoga may be regarded as the easiest method. But even in that method, the effort is as great as the method which is involved here in the intellectual understanding. Now, what is the difficulty there? The first difficulty of that path is that you do the action but do not be bound by the results. This is the very first wisdom of Karma Yoga. There are many other greater wisdoms, but this is the most elementary wisdom. Now, how many of us can act without being involved in the consequences? Without, in fact, we might say that if we have nothing to, no result, then we don't do anything at all. Our normal condition of consciousness is such that we do all activities only to produce certain results. And if you are to be told that, well, do not think of consequences, do not get involved in the consequences, then what remains for us to do? So the very first step of Karma Yoga is a very difficult task. The second step is even more difficult. That you do the action realizing that you are not the doer of action. First was only connected with your doership, you do action but do not involve in the consequences. But now the second is, you do the action but realize that you are not the doer of action. Now this is even a greater difficulty. And the third step is even more difficult. You open upwards, know that you are not the doer, do not be involved in the consequences. And the third thing is to you open yourself from where action is really proceeding. Action, we believe, normally proceeding from our ideas, our imaginations, our desire for consequences and so on. This is what we think is the origin of our action. But when you know that you are not to be involved in consequences, when you know that you are not the doer of action, then you are able to open, then even this proposition becomes possible, that now when you know this, then you open up. Now this opening is a very difficult task. You just open. And when you open, you'll find a tremendous force of action proceeding and just vibrating and going through you. It's like electricity. Electric wire in which electricity is passing has an origin. That origin is able to pass through electricity only because of the opening of electric wire. If electric wire had no opening, electricity would not pass through it. Similarly, there is an action of which we have today no imagination, no idea at all. But there is action. A tremendous flow of action. What Sri Aurobindo speaks in the very first paragraph of this chapter, where eons of activities, myriads of things, a stupendous movement, a tremendous energy, which is already flowing. Now you open, just open up, and that energy will flow. That is the highest stage of Karma Yoga. When you open up and that whole energy will flow, just, and then, as Sri Aurobindo says, what is a flute? It is only a channel through which the wind blows. And it is the one who really blows the wind who makes a tune. Flute doesn't make a tune. So the whole life is designed by the one who plays the flute player. That is why Sri Krishna's picture is so wonderful, that he is the flute player and we are only flutes. And even these flutes are not we. They are made, fabricated by him. He is the fabricator, he is the wind, and he is the blower.